All right, welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. As always, it's Monday, July 25th, day after Pioneer Day in Utah, basically a second 4th of July. Today's episode's all baseball. We got Jacob Caldwell coming on to talk standings, World Series predictions, trade deadline stuff, basically everything going on in Major League Baseball. A couple big episodes coming up in the future. Matt, anything you want to hit on before we get to Jacob?
I don't think so. It's a good interview, so let's jump right in.
Yeah, last week was like 9 different topics. This is just baseball. So excited. So here's the interview. All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake and Matt, obviously, and we're joined, like I said, by Jacob Caldwell, our baseball guy, fresh off a shark diving trip in Florida, which doesn't sound fun to me, but apparently you'd had a good time.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's great to be back on. And yeah, Jake, glad to be alive after my Florida man weekend diving with the sharks and looking at the alligators. So I feel fully immersed in my new environment here.
Yeah, welcome to Florida. We were trying to talk last week or record last week during like the home run derby or the all-star game, but pretty busy schedules between all three of us where it ended up just working out kind of this week, which is fine. Baseball's back. Trade deadline's about a week from now, so we're just going to kind of see what happens. Don't have a strict outline planned, but ready to hop into it. Does anybody want to start in a particular place?
I am good starting wherever. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I'd say you lead us, Jake.
Let's just look at the wild card standings, then we can kind of go through team by team. If we want to talk about some trade deadline opportunities, we can, and see what happens. I think let's start in the American League because I feel like you're going to be pretty excited about it right now. We're recording this on July 25th, so as of right now, the Yankees are leading the whole American League. Then Houston's in second, Minnesota's in third. Those are your division leaders. Three wild card teams would be Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Seattle if the playoffs ended today. And then Cleveland, Boston, Chicago, White Sox, and then Baltimore is not really in it, but that's kind of like the last stretch of teams that I would say are kind of fighting for a wild card spot. I kind of want to start with Baltimore just because I think they're intriguing. Jacob, I know you watch a lot of them. Watching the American League East, so you watch them a lot. They're not very good, but they've kind of overperformed. They're kind of in a weird place with this extra wild card spot. They could go for it. It makes more sense though to just admit they suck. Like Adley Rutschman's doing fine, but like other than Trey Mancini, they don't have a lot. They still don't have pitching. I'm not the owner, so it's not my money that I'd be losing. But I don't think Baltimore should go for it. I think they should be like, oh, yeah, we had a good year. This is great. We're not going to win the World Series. Let's trade anyone we were going to trade and load up for 2024 or whatever. What are your thoughts as you've watched Baltimore play the Yankees, I guess, more than everybody else? But
yeah, I would agree with that. I think they are close, and they've made really, really good strides. I think when we talked at the beginning of the year, we didn't even really give them the time of day in terms of talking about how their season was going to go. We kind of just figured, you know, the top four AL East teams would definitely take the cake in terms of the best teams in that division, but definitely have overperformed what everybody expected, I think, hovering just below 500 right now. The Yankees have had a decent time against them, honestly. They just came off a series win against them, but the Orioles have definitely given the Yankees a tough go at it, and as well as the rest of the American League East. So I agree. I don't think they should go over the top and try to say like, hey, this is our year. Let's go spend a ton of money. But I think, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not super well versed on their farm system, but I think they still have quite a bit of good talent and young talent that they could maybe go for somebody in the off season and build around that. But if I was the owner of that team, you know, assuming they finish somewhere near 500 at the end of this year, you know, you take that as a win and you kind of move forward and hope 2023-2024 goes your favor and maybe you get a playoff berth here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because their farm system's good. Like, even if you don't count Adley Rutschman, which I wouldn't count him as a prospect anymore. They just got the number one pick. They took Jackson Holliday from Stillwater, Oklahoma. The thing with them is any of their good prospects are like position players. They don't have any real good pitching depth. So there's no one you're looking at the pipeline like, oh, he can be a starter. Even like those like number two, number three type starters, they don't have any of those. So while they have a like good farm system statistically, they don't have a balanced farm system, which for me, I would just try to get some more pitching depth in the farm system, kind of what you said. But they definitely can reload in the summer, or excuse me, I guess the winter if they need to, and not. I just don't see a point of going for it if you're not going to win the World Series, is kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that they, I mean, they very well could make the playoffs this year. They're 3.5 games out of the wild card right now. I haven't really looked at their schedule. I don't know if they're out of American League East play has been brutal at the start, or if it gets worse as the year goes on. But I mean, 3.5 games out before August even starts, I mean, there's plenty of time to make some jumps there. Although, you know, like we've talked about, the American League East alone is stacked, and then you've got the other teams in the American League that are really good as well. So it'll be an uphill battle for them to make a playoff spot, but at 3.5 games out, you know, you don't count yourself out by any means. But yeah, I don't know about going and spending a ton of money when I don't know how much of a shot they have at beating teams like New York and Houston right now in the American League.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I thought they were going to be with Oakland as like the worst teams in the league. I thought Detroit would be a little bit better, but Baltimore for me is the most pleasantly surprising team. I have a definite answer for most disappointing team in the American League.
I do too. And I think we have the same one.
Who's yours?
Mine is easily the Angels.
I was going to say the White Sox, because I thought that I knew the Angels were going to be bad. I knew this was going to happen.
I thought, and you'll have to tell me what years were, because I don't remember your entire breakdown for how the year was going to finish, but I had them in my like Red Sox / Angels might make the playoffs, like get that last wild card spot. So I at least thought they'd be decent. And like, how many times are we going to see, and we can get into this later, but Trout and Ohtani just have their careers wasted in Anaheim. That upsets me. But I do agree on the White Sox. That was one of the areas where I have like a, where I think I was right, where I was wrong. I thought the White Sox were going to run away with that division. But I also thought the Twins would be really good this year, and the White Sox are still only 3 games out. So, if they somehow find their way to that wild card, I'd be right, because I think I picked both Minnesota and the White Sox to make the playoffs. So I agree. Disappointing. They're not making a whole lot of noise this year, but I mean, they're very quietly only 3 games out of the wild card right now. So we'll see.
We've talked about the Angels before and just kind of wasting Trout's career. I know Otani's a little bit younger, is at least younger in the league. How old is Mike Trout now? Like, how much longer can we keep talking about this before he's just done?
Let's look at his age. I think he's just cool to make $27 million a year, live by the beach, and be the best player ever and, like, make the playoffs once every 7 years. He's only 30, but he's still got, like, what, 7 or 8 more years on his contract at least.
Yeah, he's got a lot of time left. He didn't sign it too long ago. And then Ohtani, I think, has 2 years left of control, I want to say, before he hits. I mean, we just saw the money that Juan Soto turned down. I can't even begin to fathom what the beginning number is going to be for a guy like Ohtani. Like, that is a whole different conversation to have. But I don't know, man. I've seen some videos circulating this year of Mike Trout, and he just looks dejected on that team. Like, he just looks at people, like, not in like a disrespectful way of like trying to show up his guys or anything like that, but there's just times where he looks just not too happy to be there. And I can't blame him. As a baseball fan, I want to see him and Ohtani playing in these high leverage games in September and October, and we're just being spoiled of that right now, and it's a shame.
I think what sums up the season was when Joe Maddon walked I think it was Corey Seager with the bases loaded, and Mike Trout just in the outfield, like, trying to calculate, like, figure out what happened. Like, because no one told him, apparently.
Yeah, that was baffling. They actually started out pretty decent. Like, I want to say they were like 7 to 15 games over 500 at one point, pretty early on, to where like 7 to 15 games over would be a really solid schedule or record. And then they lost like 14 or 15 in a row. Was it Joe Maddon? Is that their guy? He got fired in the middle of that. Like, it was just a dumpster fire, and they have not recovered since. Like, they're 15 games under 500 now, and it's just a disaster for them.
They were crushing it. The Reed Detmers, I think that's his name, Detmers, who threw a no-hitter, he's back in AAA with the Salt Lake Bees already. Like, he threw a no-hitter, and he, like, they just can't figure it out, and it is frustrating. And, like, yeah, I don't know, Rendon's wrist is still hurt. Like, everything they try to do just doesn't work out, and it's at a point where it's kind of handicapped them, because unlike, I mean, we were just talking about Baltimore, it doesn't have like the best farm system in the world, but they do have a little bit of flexibility. The Angels don't have any flexibility. Like, even in the draft, which happened like a week or two ago, they couldn't take like high upside high school pitchers, especially because that's not going to match up with Trout's timeline, and especially Otani's timeline. They had to try to go for like college guys who would hopefully be in the big leagues a little bit sooner. And that's just once you start doing that, I feel like you're handicapping yourself. So I'm not disappointed just because it's what I expected out of the Angels. They did start off pretty good though.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, it just seems like, because like we said, he's got 7 or 8 years left on his contract. You have to think they could get the best package of prospects of all time and picks back if they did trade him. So, like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Man, that's a really good point. And that was something I was going to bring up next, is like, you still have Trout playing his otherworldly level of baseball, even though he's getting into his 30s now and has a lot of time on his contract. You've got Otani, who you still have control over, so you can still get something for him before he becomes a free agent and you get nothing for him. So I don't know, if I'm the Angels front office, I know it's so hard to let go of guys like that, especially a guy like Otani. You know, you try and build an entire franchise around a guy like that, but you could bring in just a absolute package for those two guys at this point. So I wonder if it's in the back of their heads at all to be like, maybe, like, you know, we're not getting in this to work out. Maybe we bring in a giant haul of really amazing prospects and probably even really good current players and move on to the next chapter. I don't know. I wish that's what they did, because I'd love to see those guys on a better team.
I wonder what the return would look like compared to whatever Juan Soto's return will look like for the Nationals whenever that happens.
Yeah, which may happen here in the next week.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they want prospects 1 through 4, and then at least one established, decent big league player, which is just, I mean, that's a ton of a haul for a guy. But I mean, Soto kind of, I mean, that makes sense, I guess. So we'll see.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to pay him, like, something that starts with $500 million. Unless, like, one idea I heard, I don't know if this is realistic, but I heard a team like Tampa could trade for him, use him for 3 years, and then trade him again and get, like, half the same prospects back, basically. I don't think that'll happen, but that'd be kind of interesting if, like, a smaller market team like Tampa tried to do something.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where the common misconception is he could go to a lot of places, because it's not your typical rental where you get somebody at the trade deadline and you get to keep them for, you know, like, what is it left? Like 65-ish games or so. Like, you have control of this guy for a few years. So it's not like, even though he was looking for a contract from the Nationals and didn't quite get what he wanted, like, you don't have to present the guy with a contract just yet.
No. I think that's really, as far as like trade deadline stuff, there's like small stuff like Wilson Contreras for the Cubs. Like, I think moving a catcher at the deadline's kind of hard just because they have to like learn the new pitching staff and things like that. Trey Mancini for the Orioles. I do think it's going to be kind of a quiet deadline. There's a couple like Reds players, a couple of A's players. I don't see a lot other. I think the Mets will probably make a move. Other than that, I don't see a lot of these teams that are up in the front making huge moves. In the American League, do you see like either the Yankees or Houston or Minnesota adding everyone? I think anything would be minimal in the American League, at least if something happened like that.
Yeah, you know, I'm biased. I pay attention most closely to the Yankees, so I hope that they go get Luis Castillo. Their pitching has been really rough recently since, I mean, the beginning of the year, like everybody had a sub three ERA. All these guys came out just throwing the best ball of their life. And I mean, they've definitely regressed back to the mean. Nestor Cortez has had a couple good starts in a row, but other than that, kind of fell off there for a little bit. Jameson Taillon looks lost. Luis Severino's like slightly injured right now. They just lost Michael King, who is arguably their best reliever behind Clay Holmes. So pitching is taking a hit pretty hard. And behind Garrett Cole, there's a lot of question marks. So I would love to see the Yankees go get Castillo. It sounds like they are relatively close. I've seen some of the prospect names get thrown around. It makes sense. So I hope they get him. I hope they ditch Joey Gallo and fire him into the sun. I can't stand the guy. He strikes out probably like more times than he's gone to the plate somehow. I know it's impossible, but it's what it feels like. And it sounds like maybe they might go after Benintendi on the Royals. So slight upgrade there. Not sure what they'll do about the bullpen. Hope they go get somebody because of the Michael King injury. But beyond that, there's still a slight little piece of hope in the back of my head that says that they will put together a ridiculous package and go get Soto, which would just make me ecstatic and bring back the evil empire of the George Steinbrenner days. So that's kind of my wish list for the trade deadline. But I feel like they'll probably get a starting pitcher. I hope they upgrade the bullpen. And maybe an outfielder. I just can't see them sticking with Joey Gallo much longer.
You know, Matt pointed out yesterday when we were having our family dinner that Barry Bonds had a season where he walked more than at bats that he had. So maybe Joey Gallo's having one of those seasons with strikeouts.
I did see that, and I was actually baffled by that stat. That is, like, if you think about that and understand baseball well, that is a ridiculous stat.
There's so many Barry Bonds stats that are just literally mind bending. He's walked more time than the Tampa Bay Rays have as a history of the organization.
Yeah. And I mean, this can be a completely separate conversation because I could go into this for a long time, but how do you not put a guy like that in the Hall of Fame? Like, I understand what he did, but there will never be a hitter like that again, I don't think, personally. And I mean, just an iconic player. I don't know. He belongs in the Hall.
I agree. And speaking of bias, I think Matt, you agree with me as well. I'm obviously a Giants fan, so I'm biased, but he had two separate careers better than Ken Griffey's career. He like basically broke the OPS that like, no matter how you look at it, he's a very important part of baseball history. Like, it's just not like a legitimate Hall of Fame. It's just like what these specific sports writers think about baseball instead of an objective look at baseball history at this point.
Yeah, it's really become a popularity contest. I mean, I could be very wrong about this, so I apologize if I am, but I thought I read somewhere that David Ortiz got caught up in steroids at some point. So not knocking him at all. I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame too. I'm just saying, you know, like you've got these other guys like Alex Rodriguez, who also could be dubbed as one of the best hitters of all time. That's not going to get in. Barry Bonds, not going to get in. Like Sammy Sosa, like these iconic guys from our childhood that are just not going to make it to the Hall of Fame, even though they literally shaped the sport for an entire generation of fans. So it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. And I mean, I do understand the instinct that you don't want people in the Hall of Fame who are cheating, but it's just so hard to, like, you say this with Lance Armstrong. It's like, if he's, you know, not in the record books, you're taking 15 years of cycling and just pretending that it doesn't happen, you know? And like, I don't mind, like, maybe you put an asterisk next to the names of those guys, but just to, you know, pretend that there was just no baseball happening and during that time, it just kind of seems silly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think they should all those guys should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we were growing up, like, the lifeblood of baseball was like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds. And I mean, Pedro Martinez didn't do steroids, but I'm just talking about like baseball players at this point, like Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens. Pedro's the only guy getting in. Let's go to the AL real quick. Unless there's anything else. We can do the World Series stuff at the end. I think the Yankees are very good, but we can do like the whole World Series stuff at the end, unless there's anything I missed American League wise from either of you.
Yeah, I'm good. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, well, we don't need to discuss this, but I just thought it was funny looking up the stats before this. Like, I've heard a ton about the Seattle Mariners this year, so I just kind of assumed they were winning their division, but then I see they're, like, last in the wild card spot. I was like, oh, they're not very good. They're just decent, and they're usually terrible, so people are interested.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I will say they're having a better year than I thought. They were not on my radar for making the playoffs at the beginning of the year. Jake, weren't the Mariners the team that you said you picked to win that division? I thought you were very high on the Mariners at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and that was probably a bit overexcited. But I just thought, like, Julio Rodriguez, they had a couple, like, prospects coming up. They were one game away from the playoffs. Literally missed the playoffs on game 162 last year. So I bet on them legitimately bet on them making the playoffs. I said they were going to win the division, which is probably overreaching, but I thought they were going to be good. And I think they've been kind of on a hot streak. I think they can keep it up and stay in playoff position last whatever part of the season, few months.
I agree. And they're on a 3 losing streak right now, but they did just come off I think they won 12 or 13 in a row. Right before or even slightly after the All-Star break. So they've had a really hot streak. And speaking of Julio Rodriguez, I don't know if you guys caught the home run derby last week, but he was fun as hell to watch. He was just killing the ball. He's 21 years old, a few months into the league. And they're like, oh, everyone's just expecting, like, oh, this young kid, he's going to get all these nerves going in front of all these people in Los Angeles. And he goes out there and was just bombing the ball, like, round after round. And I mean, it was really fun to watch. He's going to be a star for years to come.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. I saw the highlights of the home run derby. I didn't catch the whole thing, but he's exciting. Big things happening for my Seattle Mariners. Do you remember my roommate in Arizona? I don't know if you ever met him, but when I lived in Mesa, the tall guy, bald.
Oh yeah, no, I did.
So he's from Seattle. So for a year and a half, our room had like a ton of Ken Griffey Jr. stuff in it and everything. Like, he like is obsessed with the Mariners. So I have a soft spot for sure. Definitely not a fan, but empathy. So for sure.
Very nice. Well, I mean, you were the most right about them. You may have overstated it slightly because, I mean, Houston's probably going to run away with that, like you said, but they weren't even really on my radar. So good call.
Yeah, part of that was getting overexcited about Seattle, and part of it was I hate the Astros, so not wanting them to win the division was.
You're speaking to the right guy about that. I guess before we go to the NL, I'll give you my where I think I was right and wrong. We kind of touched on it, so I won't go too in depth, but so Astros, Rays, Twins, Blue Jays, those are all teams that are currently in the playoff picture that I had making the playoffs. I'm not necessarily right on them winning their division or where they'll be, but in the playoff picture nonetheless. And then where I was wrong, I'll even add the Mariners to this because I forgot that I didn't have them anywhere near it. But Yankees, White Sox, Red Sox, Angels. I feel like we haven't talked about it enough that how wrong I was with the Yankees. I didn't even pick them to make the playoffs. I was so down on them, and I think it's partially because we recorded after they got swept by the Orioles at the beginning of the year. But I am very, very high on the Yankees, and I'll tell you how high when we get to that prediction.
Yeah, I think, it's the worst tease in the world.
So what do you have for the NL then?
So I'm just looking, and if I'm going to say disappointing teams – well, I kind of want to include Philadelphia has been disappointing, but the last like 2 months they haven't been. I don't know what to think of Philadelphia. That's kind of the team I've highlighted as what's going on there. Like, after Joe Girardi, they lost, I think, 8 in a row before Girardi got fired, your favorite guy. And then I think they won like 10 in a row or something like that. They're one game out of a wild card spot right now. I had them in the wild card with St. Louis and San Francisco. Who, that's also extremely disappointing personally, is San Francisco. They just got swept by the Dodgers, just playing piss poor baseball right now. Miami's been good. I don't know. I'm just kind of looking at the standings. Miami and Arizona are under 500, but kind of surprisingly good. The Mets are much better than I thought they would be. The NL, I think, is much less I don't know. It's just a different picture than the American League. What do you guys think?
I was actually mostly right so far, at least with who's going to make the playoffs. I think the teams that are just out surprise me, either good or bad. Like the Cubs are just absolutely terrible. I didn't expect them to be as bad as they are. I didn't think they'd be good, but definitely not 38-57. Philly, I feel like, has positively surprised me. Like until you brought them up, and to be fair, I don't spend a whole lot of time watching the National League, but I thought that they were not that good of a team. So to see that they're one game back of the wild card is pleasantly surprising for them. I also thought the Giants would be better. That's one of the areas I said I was wrong. But then again, they're two games back, and I picked them to be in the wild card, not winning the division. So they're still right-ish where I thought they'd be. But beyond that, I thought the Mets and the Braves were going to be neck and neck for that division. I picked Atlanta, and Atlanta's right there to win that division now still. I picked Milwaukee, and I picked the Dodgers. So, and then I think I had St. Louis and the Padres like right there or right on the cusp of the playoffs. So the teams that are there, I think I expected to be there, but where exactly they are, I think is where it got messed up a little bit.
Yeah, I think the top crop. So if we go through standings, the Dodgers are in first place in the National League, then the Mets are in second, then Milwaukee, those are the division leaders. Then Atlanta, San Diego, St. Louis, those are the wild card leaders. Philly and San Francisco are one and two games out, respectively. I think those were always going to be the eight teams. Like, six of those eight made the wild card. In my head, just because you look other than that, it's like Miami, Colorado, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati is always going to be terrible. So I think it's always going to be those eight. I had higher hopes for San Francisco and Philly. But I guess being one and two games out, St. Louis is right there. San Diego's been much better than – not much better, but I'd say better than I thought they would be. We knew the Dodgers were just going to murder everybody, so that's held true, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was – I'm sad to say that I kind of chuckled a little bit to myself last night when I saw that the Dodgers swept the Giants. I was like, oh, that's just really bad timing with us recording tonight.
They were like stupid sweeps too, like – every game we found like a fun creative way to like blow it in the eighth inning or something like that. It was annoying.
I feel your pain. That's the 2021 Yankees in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, like the bullpen keeps blowing stuff. The starters that aren't Carlos Rodon and Logan Webb aren't very good. Like last year the Giants led the league in pinch hit home runs or like eighth inning or later go ahead home runs, and there's not getting a lot of that. And it's just been, I mean, I kind of think where they are this year is what they should have been last year, and they were just overperforming, but still sucks, you know, still a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the blame is going towards the catchers and Joey Bart not being able to figure it out. Do you agree with that, or you just feel like, well, Joey Bart was never going to be Buster Posey, and there's a lot bigger problems?
Well, I mean, he could have been an average baseball player. That would have helped. He didn't need to be Buster Posey. Like, he just swing. The Giants tried to, like, only swing at good pitches, work the count, keep the line moving, blah, blah, blah. And Joey Bart just swings at everything. And in college at Georgia Tech, he was a really good hitter. I thought a pretty disciplined hitter. I'm obviously not Keith Law or anything as far as scouting college players, but like, I did not expect him to do this bad. And it's to the point where it's becoming like a bust, which sucks. And it's a bummer. But Pat, their other catcher, they drafted 2 years later in the first round, Patrick Bailey from North Carolina State. He's also just doing horrible in high A ball. So, like, the Giants at one point had two really good catching prospects, and now both of them are looking like a bust. So, missing Buster Posey more and more every day.
Those are tough shoes to fill, though, at the same time. You know, it's like the Didi Gregorius having to come in and fill Jeter's shoes after he left. Like, you have to somewhat taper your expectations to it. But I like your comment of we could have at least asked him to be a baseball player.
Yeah, I'm not asking him to be a Hall of Famer. Just get the ball and play once in a while. I will say he's a very good defensive catcher. Like, he's very mature from a defensive catching standpoint, from, like, a game-calling standpoint. But, like, he couldn't hit a ball with a tennis racket at this point. It's frustrating to watch. Let's do predictions, I guess. Because I think, the Dodgers, I don't know if they're the most surprising team, but they're good. The most disappointing, we already kind of talked about that. I think if we look at the World Series, well, let's just look at run differential real quick, and this is my World Series prediction. The Dodgers are at plus 181. The Yankees are at plus 200. The only other team that's in triple digits is Houston at plus 109. I think the Mets are very good. I think if it's not Dodgers-Yankees, it's going to be Mets-Yankees. I don't think any other team is really close. I think the Braves are the only other team that can mess that up, but I would be surprised if it's not a Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
Oh, go ahead, Matt. I'll let you go first.
Oh, no, that was me. My cat just came up on our lap, so I was saying hi there.
So me predicting the Yankees to not be good this year has so far been a good thing for me. And so I'm going to keep that up. And some might say that I'm a bad fan, but I'm just that I don't even know. I'm totally getting lost what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is that I'm not picking the Yankees to win. It's bad juju at this point. I have not bet on the Yankees this year. For once, me not saying that they're going to be the best team and betting on them is working out in my favor. And so I'm not going to start now here in July. So I'm going to go Yankees and Houston, ALCS, and NLCS. I'm going to go Dodgers, Atlanta, and then I'm going to go Dodgers, Houston, Dodgers win it all. So I'm going to stick with the Dodgers. I picked the Dodgers at the beginning of the year. Sticking with that, they've done exactly what I expected them to do. So I think that they will continue that. Atlanta's awesome. I think they've been the best team in baseball since June 1st or something around that time. They have been very hot. They really closed the gap on the Mets very quickly. And it's not because the Mets have been bad. It's been because the Braves have been very good. So I think the Mets will be a very tough team to beat in the playoffs. But I think that the Braves are going to outdo them. And I think it'll be Braves, Dodgers, but I still think the Dodgers are better. And then I'm picking Houston because the Yankees, they're owned by them right now. Look at every series. The Yankees have not led in a single game. They've won two of them off in walk-offs, but they really have been dominated all year by Houston. So unless the Yankees make, I would say, significant upgrades here at the deadline in the next week, I do not think that they will beat Houston in a seven-game series. So I'm taking Houston and the Dodgers to win it all.
The thing with the Mets and the reason why it's hard for me to not pick them and be excited about them is Scherzer's coming back and they are getting DeGrom back, and I know they're going to make they're the most likely team, I think, to make a big move. So I think the Mets as of today are not a good bet, but I think they've been one of the best teams and they're going to be better. So that's why I think they could beat the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers are a much better team. I think we're going to see a much better version of the Mets in October than we're looking at right now.
That's a very good point. I haven't even thought about that with their health issues on the year. So I agree. I think anybody outside of the Dodgers, Mets, or Braves, I'd be pretty shocked. Even though Milwaukee's having a good year, I don't see them as quite the contender that those other three are.
Yeah, there's some interesting matchups in the playoffs this year. I think Atlanta Dodgers would be a lot of fun because of Freddie Freeman and just the whole mess that's been. I would love to watch that in the playoffs. Houston Dodgers would obviously be interesting for a lot of reasons. So mostly just teams with the Dodgers, teams who are mad at the Dodgers. Those are going to be fun to watch. I think I like teams that do well in, towards the end of the year, particularly in a sport with baseball that feels very random when we come to the playoffs. So I'm just going to go for it and pick Atlanta to beat the Dodgers and then go to the World Series. And then from the American League, I don't really see anybody else besides the Yankees going through. I don't, as much as I'd like to see Houston Dodgers World Series again, I think Yankees, Braves, and then I'll go ahead and pick the Yankees since you can't.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. But hey, the same thing like you're saying with the Dodgers having some fun rematches, like seeing the Braves again. The Yankees and Astros have had like really great history over the last 5 years between the scandals and the hatred between the teams. But sadly right now, I mean, the Yankees are on the wrong side of that. They have been put in their place by the Astros. So I would love nothing more than to see a Yankees Astros ALCS. And I think it would be the most fun series.
I think it'd be intense for sure. I think it'd be exciting. I think there's a lot. Yeah. I'm honestly really excited for playoffs because the National League, like we talked about, I think it's 8 teams deep. And it, obviously there's a tier in that, but like those 8 teams, I think could beat up on each other and make it pretty exciting. Look at the American League. You're just going to get a bunch of rivalry games. Everyone hates Houston. If Boston can pick it, I don't think Boston will make the playoffs, but there's that possibility. There's going to be probably three teams from the American League East in the playoffs, which I always love interdivision games. I think Tampa Bay's going to be better than they've been and could be a dark horse to make like advance further than their seeding in the playoffs. Again, my Seattle Mariners are doing good. Should be fun. Yeah, we'll have to circle back either right before or right after the playoffs. Probably right before we make some playoff predictions, kind of see where we lined up. And again, baseball playoffs are, in my opinion, it just more than any sport, the regular season, the playoff intensity in the playoffs is just so different. And any sport is intense in the playoffs, but baseball, just every pitch, you're just on the edge of your seat the entire time because it's so meaningful.
I totally agree. The amount of anxiety that I get during Yankees playoffs games literally is not matched by any other activity that I do in my life. You can name it. There's nothing else worse than sitting through a 3.5 hour, 4 hour long Yankees playoff game. Like, it gives me anxiety even thinking about having to do that here in a couple months, but I'm very excited. And the Jeter documentary is honestly putting me in that mode of like, because they show like that whole dynasty of winning year after year after year. And it's just like the playoff atmosphere in the Bronx is, well, it just gives you goosebumps to watch. And I will be, if the Yankees go to the World Series this year, I will be going to a game. There's like no doubt about it in my mind. It's going to happen. So I really hope I get to experience that for the first time.
I hope you do too. Last time I cried was during the playoffs last year. So hopefully,
hopefully you get to cry again soon.
Yeah. I can't wait. Looking forward to it. But yeah, again, Jacob Caldwell, our number one baseball guy. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll be right back. All right, big thanks to Jacob Caldwell for coming on. One of my best friends, smart baseball guys. I love talking to him. Wish the Giants were playing better, but that is what it is. Matt, is there anything you want to add before we sign off?
I don't think so. Just hopefully you guys like baseball.
Hopefully you like baseball.
Yeah, it was a good chat.
Yeah, and if you don't, again, we got a couple big, don't announce anything because not confirmed, but a couple big interviews that I'm pretty excited about in the next couple episodes coming on. Appreciate everybody listening. Feel free, again, as always, subscribe, rate, review, and we'll talk to you guys later.